One of the most graphic images, it doesn't happen once, it happens so many times in Eicha, is the lurid descriptions of the starvation of children. You read Eicha, it's hard to read. It brings to mind the pictures that, you know, we see from Yemen, what it looks like for a child to be starved. It's a horrifying thing. And the children were starving because there was no food. You know, if there was food, the parents would have given it to the children, obviously. And that's where this next kina begins, where the kina picks up on the most horrific image we have in the fourth perek of Eicha Yidei, Nashim Rachmanios Bishlu Yaldehen. That the most compassionate of women, the women who would lead the Bikur Cholim committees, and the women that would lead, you know, the Nichum Avelim, and women who would do all of those things in town, imagine them cooking their own children. Now we would have to imagine it, but Yirmiyahu didn't, he saw it. Yidei Nashim Rachmanios Bishlu Yaldehen. In the article, you have page 232, Rosenfeld 120. So, this kina, of course, describes the very graphic terms, what Churban is about. You know, sometimes we have a childlike image that Churban Beis HaMikdash means the Romans went in, the Babylonians went in, they set a fire. That was the least of it. The blood, the rape, the pillaging, the horrors at the human level, human tragedy, and we spoke a little bit about last night, is captured perhaps, again, most poignantly in terms of the children that we read about in Eicha last night, who were screaming to their parents, to their mothers, for some food, and of course there's nothing to give them, and what could be more tragic? That's where the kina begins, with these images. I want to pick up with some of the subsequent images, because again, part of the avelus aspect of Tisha B'Av is, as difficult as it is for us, to try to see what the suffering was. In Tocham L'Nashim Piryam Olei Tipuchim, women literally would be eating. Again, this is all foretold in the Torah. Now, before the second kina that we spoke about there, in the Tochacha, it says that this will happen. So, im tochalna nashim periyam oleiti buchim, if women could eat the babies, the infants that they cared for so carefully, im tivashelna nashim rachmaniyot yiladim hamadudim tzvachim tzvachim. Powerful line. If the mothers could eat children, how do you measure a baby's height? They measure baby's height in feet or in meters. You say, when they're born, what they measure in centimeters. Right? They say, even in America, they use centimeters for these purposes. And so then later on, they use images. That's not new. So again, the Kalil writes, Hamedudim, they're measured, tfachim, tfachim. You would say a baby is this many tfachim. How many tfachim? Five tfachim? Baby. Im tivashelna nashim rachmanios yiladim hamidudim tfachim tfachim. They can be measured in tfachim, not in feet, not in meters. Im tigozna pa'as roshav. These same nashim rachmanios, if their hair could be literally shorn, I'll tell you what the image is being referred to here is. V'tikshardo l'susim porchim. So the Rav pointed out, and this is actually a reference to a medrash in Eicha Rabbah, Aleph Mem Zayin, about a woman named Miriam Bat Baitus. So I want to read her story from the medrash about what exactly Kalir is referring to about the hair being attached to horses that were running. Masav and Miriam Bat Baitus, Shekidsha Yoshua ben Gamla, Uminoa Melech Lios Kohen Gadol. So she was the wife of the Kohen Gadol, a woman named Miriam. V'nichnasa pa'amachas liros g'amra eilich v'era oso k'shu kare b'yom ha'kipurim v'beis ha'mikdash. We know, said every Yom Kippur, that a critical part of the Avodah is the Kohen would actually read from the Sefer Torah after he finished the Avodah. And then he would end off, he would conclude by saying that famous line, Harbe Yoser Mimasha Karasi Lifnechem Kasav Kam. There's a lot more here than I had time to read today. So she wanted to have the nachas of seeing her husband read, you know, MS Manedar Hayakohen Gadol, and see her husband in his glory, right? And they tried to put down something on the floor as she walked so that her feet wouldn't have to touch the floor. The Torah speaks about the women who tragically would end up consuming their children being so delicate, you know, that they would be careful in general about their feet actually touching the ground. The image here. Amra Blazer Rabbi Tzadok, Era ben Nechama, I should see the consolation of the Jewish people. Im lo re'isiha, why? Because what happened to this Miriam bat Vaitus, this very delicate woman whose big aspiration in life was to see her husband, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, reading from the Sefer Torah? What was her fate? Im lo re'isiha, the Romans, Shekashru Saroseh Bizanbe Suseim Shalarvian. They got the fastest Arab stallions. They tied her to these horses. Vihayu Miritzinam Yerushalayim Va'ad Lod. You guys all know where Lod is. Yerushalayim to Lod. Vikaras Yala Pasikaze Haraka Becha Vaduga and Asher Nistachafla Mehatsegal Aretz Mehisaneg Me'ume Roch, right? Tofacha. That the woman who would be the most delicate would end up in the most degraded of states. Of course, the death here is beyond description, the total dismemberment. So the Rav commented about this, actually, in noting that this was the medrash that was being referred to in this line here, in Tigozna Pasu Hashem, Mitikshan L'susim Porchim. So the Rav noted that this happened, actually, to a cousin of his, a niece of his, that... He had a cousin who was a grandson, as he was, of Reb Chaim Brisk, by the name of Yeshayahu Glickson. And when the Nazis entered their town, so again, the Rav escaped Europe in 1933, December of 1932, actually. So most of the family, of course, was left behind in Europe. And this cousin of his, he later found out, Yeshayahu Glickson, and his wife, again, the modern-day equivalent for the SS was not horses, but cars. So, you know, sometimes we think about, and we'll talk about this more when we get to the keynotes of the Holocaust, so, you know, very antiseptic, very clinical, the final solution, trains, gas chambers. But there were a million small acts of cruelty along the way. So this cousin of the Rav and his wife, so they were still in Sheva Bracha. So somehow the Nazis found out that they had just recently been married. What an opportunity. So they tied them by their heads to cars, and then they drove the cars as fast as they could. What the Romans did to Miriam bat Vaitus, Misa Mishuna, a horrific death. And this is part of the reason, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, that, you know, the Rav, at least in principle, and there are reasons that I don't subscribe to this particular point of view, but the Rav was very insistent that the tragedy of the Shoah should be commemorated on the Yom Shehuchpalu Botzaros on Tisha B'Av, because he would say that there was nothing that the Romans did that the Nazis didn't do. There was nothing that the Nazis did that the Romans and the Babylonians didn't do. It's all a continuum, right? There was more technology, but the basic idea was exactly the same. L'chu v'nachidei migoy, right? Sometimes we make a very important mistake of thinking that, oh, you know, because they used Cyclone B, and the Babylonians, you know, used for the most part horses and swords and, you know, starvation, that represents some kind of a qualitative distinction. But it doesn't. It doesn't. The Babylonians, the Romans had the technology that the Nazis had. Wouldn't it have been any different? And you can see that in very small ways, right? Again, here, The Romans taking Miriam bat Baitas and dragging her to her death with a horse. And the only difference between this and the story of the Nazis is that the Nazis did it with a car because, you know, they had a car with a horsepower engine instead of a horse itself. Well, that's a very important point to be aware of. Now, these children that we read about in Eicha, the children who suffered so terribly, the starvation. So these children, we should have an appreciation of who they were in their own right, the ones that survived, at least until a point. To share, the Gemara in Masechta Gittin tells a story of 400 of these children. But just to appreciate what was lost. It wasn't just the sense of helpless infants that were being starved to death and consumed by their parents. But the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Minchas tells us about these children. Amar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, V'yisema Reb Ami V'amrila V'masnisa Tana Maisa Ba'arba Meos Yeladim V'yelado Shenishbu L'kalon. So there's a story of 400 young boys and girls that were not killed specifically to be taken into captivity by the Romans to be used for their own sexual pleasure. The Romans were sexual deviants in many, many ways, the Roman culture, as we know. And they specifically saved 400 children that they thought would give them the most pleasure, 200 boys, 200 girls, and they were actually sending them on a boat in the Mediterranean to Rome. These are the children that were being sent, Shenishbu Lekalod. Hergishu Ba'atzman, the children figured out for themselves, Lima Hein Misbakshin, what exactly they were being kept alive for. So Amru, so they started talking amongst themselves. So again, the Jewish children of that time. So Amru, Imanu Tovin Bayam, Anu Boim L'chayu Olam Haba. So they started wondering, if we'll drown ourselves, if we'll commit suicide, will we have a portion in Olam Haba? Or, by virtue of committing suicide, will we forfeit our portion in Olam Haba? So they were having a halachic discussion. So Darash Lahen Hagadol Shebehen. So the most knowledgeable, the oldest of the children there said, Amar, Hashem mi Bashan Ashiv, Hashem can bring back from the faraway lands of Bashan, Ashiv mi Mitzulos Yab. Hashem can bring back, can restore even from the depths of the sea. Mi Bashan Ashiv mi Ben Shine Aryeh, Ashiv mi Mitzulos Yam, Elu Shetovin Bayam. So the point that he was making is if we drown ourselves in the sea, Hashem can still return us from there. Certainly the Chayu Olam Haba, Ashiv Mitzulos Yam. Kevan Sheshamu. So once they heard this drasha, the Yelados, the girls, say the 200 girls that were on this boat ride, Kafsu Kulad V'naflu L'so Chayam, they committed suicide. Nasu Yeladim Kal V'chomer Ba'atzman. And so the boys looked at themselves and said, if the girls who could have defended themselves, there's a principle in halacha that when it comes to a woman who's being subjected to forms of sexual torture, that she's not guilty at all because of this principle called karka olam. It comes up in halacha discussion of how Esther could be with Ahasuerus. They could defend themselves. But a man has no such defense. Principle in halacha, ein kishoy el ladas. So nasu yeladim kal v'chomer ba'atzman. So the boy said, if the girls are prepared to sacrifice their lives, and we're on a technical level, they might not have to. They could defend themselves that they were just karka olam. They were simply being acted on. V'amru mahalalu shedarken l'chaf kaf anu shein darkenu l'kach achas kama v'chama afim kaf to l'sochayam v'aleim akas of omer kealecha horagnu kol hayom nechshavnu katzon tivcha. Pasuk in Tehillim says that we sacrificed our lives for you. We were like sheep who were slaughtered in such great numbers. Again, when we talk about the Jewish children who were lost, we should have a sense of appreciation of the deep spiritual commitment and spiritual resilience that these Jewish children showed in the context of the Churban. But they asked themselves serious questions. How should we handle ourselves under these circumstances? Hashem mi bashan ashiv ashiv mitzulos yam. This is all part of the tragedy, in particular of the Jewish children who were lost as part of the broader Churban.